last week, our first Sunday of the year, last Sunday, January the 2nd, we talked about a couple of things, and we talked about developing vision, finding vision, being able to see beyond the place that we are right now, being able to see maybe what we can't see with the natural eye. We live in this temporary life and dwelling, and in this body that we live in our current situations and circumstances that we find ourselves in. But I believe it's God's desire for our eyes to always be looking beyond where we are today. Give us vision, the song says, to see things as you see them, Lord. And I believe that's what should be our prayer. We talked about that last week. We talked about living on purpose, living each and every day on purpose. It seems like so many times we've got accustomed to just going through another day, getting through another season, just going through another new year and getting into another year and waking up every day and going to the same job only to do the same routine thing, to come home in the evening and cook the same supper, take the same bath and shower and get the kids to bed and wake up the next morning and do it all over again. And before you know it, another year has passed and we're celebrating 2023 and we really can say nothing. There might have been a few little triumphs throughout the year. There may have been a few trials that we faced throughout the year, and we'll look back and reflect on that. But really, we're just still kind of getting through another day, another month, another year. I don't believe that's God's design for us. I really don't. As the people of God, I believe that we should be living on purpose. We talked about that last week, just to launch this new year off and set out on the right foot and say, this is how we're going to do. We're going to develop vision. We're going to see vision. We're going to live on purpose. As we gather here on Sunday mornings, my prayer is always, God, give us a word. Give us a word for this day. Don't let it just be Kevin's pontificating on something. We don't need any more of that. We don't need anyone's opinions and all of that. God, give us something fresh and new from your word. And on some days, I hope and I pray that on some days, that word that God delivers to us, I hope that sometimes it's an inspiring word. I hope it's something that is inspiring us to look forward and to go forward. On other days, it may be a challenging word. Sometimes the word will challenge us. It will cause us to begin to have to think outside and stretch outside of our comfort zone sometime and challenge us to another dimension and another place. Sometimes I hope maybe the word is a revelatory word. Maybe God begins to open up something new to us that we've never really seen before in our own mind and from our own perspectives. And I never saw it that way. And wow, God is revealing something in my life. I hope that some days it's even like that. But then there's other days. There's days like today. There's words like today. And if you'll forgive me today, it may not be overtly spiritual. It may not be super inspiring. It may not even be very challenging. It's certainly not going to be revelatory probably in your life. But maybe today just a very practical word. A practical word. Sometimes we can get so spiritual that we forget how to walk this thing out in flesh and blood. There's some days that it's just going to be practical. How do we walk this thing out on Monday and Tuesday in a very practical way? How do we put feet to the word that God is giving us, that inspiring word, that challenging word, that revelatory word? How do we put feet to that and walk it out? Let me just tell you, I'm encouraging all of us to begin to expect bigger things and greater things through God in 2022. For us to raise our expectations and lift up our eyes in a spirit of faith and believe God for the very best year ever. What we need to understand is that God, I believe he's always calling us to a higher place. He's always calling us higher in one way or another. It's never God's desire for us just to remain. It's never God's desire for us just to live this life with the status quo and just get through another day. I believe he's always calling us higher. As a matter of fact, Paul writes in Philippians 3, and I'm reading this from the King James Version. Paul says, brethren, in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Everybody say reaching forth. Reaching forth to the things which are before. Listen to verse 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, that higher calling of God in Christ Jesus. The Message version says it this way. It says, it speaks of that higher calling, and it says that God is beckoning us. He is calling, he is beckoning us onward to that higher calling in Christ Jesus. So far, some very practical application. Here's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about habits that move us higher. Habits that move us higher. We all have habits. We all have those habitual things that we do each and every day. The way that we live this thing out on Monday and Tuesday, as God is beckoning us onward to that higher calling in Christ Jesus. Not only must we develop vision for the future, not only should we just be able to see what God is wanting to do in our future and our life, not only should we commit our lives to live on purpose, we must also develop habits that will ultimately move us higher. Is it okay that we just talk about some practical stuff today? In most of Jesus' conversations that he had with people, he always seemed to tell them something to do. There is something that you need to do, to take some sort of new step, to start a new way of life, to begin to approach life in a new way. Basically, if you came in contact with Jesus, the chances were really, really high that before you left him, he was going to say something to you about forming a new habit in your life. For example, he would say to the one young lady, he would say, go and sin no more. Go and do life a different way. Develop a new habit. Another place, he would tell some of his disciples, he would say, come and follow me and do this every single day. He says, I know you haven't done this in the past, but it's time for a new habit. He was saying this. He says, if you want God working more in your life, then come and follow me. Develop a new habit. Do something that you haven't been doing day in and day out. He says, love one another. For some, that was a new habit, not just in good times, but develop a habit of loving one another. In fact, he would go a step further and he would say, here's another habit I want you to form. Love your enemies. How about that for a new habit? Those that talk about you, those that are bad to you, those that want to hurt you. Love those people. Talk about a new habit. On another occasion, he says, if you're asked to go 1 mile, go 2. Be an extra miler, he was saying. We think about this particular verse, and we think about this particular instruction from the Lord when we think about maybe the attitude that I believe that he wants us to have, maybe as an employee with an employer. So many times, it seems like the mindset is that we just want to get by with the bare minimum or do the lowest level of what's demanded of me or what's expected of me. Life is so much better and we get so much further in life, whether it's in work and a job, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in relationships, whether it's in church and kingdom work. Life is so much better if we decide, I'm not just going to do the minimum that's required. I'm going to be an extra miler. I'm going to go the extra mile. And that's what Jesus was saying. He was saying, develop a habit. He was saying, as a follower of me, I want you to be that extra miler. If you're asked to go 1 mile, go 2, and develop it as a habit in your life. When Jesus was talking about building our lives on a good and a strong foundation, he was talking to the crowd that day, and he says, whoever hears this word of mine and puts it into practice, whoever hears the words of mine and develops habits around what I'm talking about. He goes on to say that person is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms came, and the storms will come, but when they came, the house stood strong. He said that they would have an enduring life. If they wouldn't just be hearers, but they would be doers, they would put it into practice, they would have an enduring life and a strong life, a stable life in their future. But he was prefacing it all with that one instruction, that it's not only those who hear me teach and hear me talk, but actually put it into practice, actually develop a habit around what I'm instructing them to do. When God beckons us or calls us higher, it will always involve some sort of habit change in our lives. We all have various kinds of habits, whether they be eating habits, drinking habits, sleeping habits, speaking habits, financial habits. If you're like me, you got some pretty bad driving habits at times. We have all kinds of habits. We have good habits. We have bad habits. We have habits that help us, and we have habits that hinder us. And research says that over 40% of our daily behavior comes from a habit. In other words, almost half of what we do every day, we do it out of habit. So it makes sense that when God is beckoning us, when he's calling us to that higher place, that high call, it's going to involve some change of habits. There's an author, her name is Catherine Marshall, and she told of a time in her life when she sensed that God was telling her to go on a fast from criticism. Now, we often think of fasting, and a lot of times this time of the year, a lot of churches are going on church-wide fast. We often think of fasting as, you know, fasting food or a certain type of food or whatever for X number of days. But she said that God had challenged her to fast from criticism. No more criticizing. And she wrote about that first day, and here I want to read her words, how she described that first day. She says, "For the first half of the day, I simply felt a void, almost as if I had been wiped out as a person. This was especially true at lunch. I listened to the others, and I kept silent." Let me just pause right there and say that what that tells us is that she was going to lunch every day with her fellow critics. And she didn't even really realize what was happening. But now, as she sits at the lunch table, and this conversation is going on, and she's not joining in, she's feeling like she doesn't really have anything to contribute or anything to actually say. If we're surrounding ourselves with people who are critical, it's like it has its own language. If we're a critic, we can speak criticism fluently. We can speak critically on a dime. It just flows out of us. If something's happening around us, we can pick up the conversation in a critical way and just go to town on the conversation. It's so easy to do if we're critical. But what's interesting is if you ever get around a group of people like that and you just all of a sudden blurt out something that's actually positive, whether the conversation is politics or religion or job conditions, if you were to actually say something positive, you would actually create a very awkward moment in the conversation. It would probably get very quiet. The conversation would all of a sudden just sort of freeze up. Because see, the people you're sitting there with, they don't speak that language. They don't understand that language. All of a sudden, no one knows what to say. It's just this awkward moment. Which is why, if we think about it, most of the time, when we're hanging out with particular people, the worst in us begins to come out. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. I've noticed that in my own life. I've gotten around certain people or been on a road trip with someone, and I find myself, as soon as I get in the vehicle, I'm talking about all the negative stuff. I'm criticizing anything and everybody, and I'm thinking, where did this come from? And I realized it was the conversation and the company I was keeping that day. That's what they thrived on. That's the only language that was understood. And I didn't like it. I don't like it in me when I see it in me. We're just joining in what's familiar to us and what's familiar to them. So Catherine Marshall, she goes on to tell about that moment when she sat in silence at the lunch table, how she didn't participate, how she gets out of that lunch. And when she gets out of that lunch, this is what she said. I'll quote her words. "That afternoon, a specific positive vision for life was dropped into my mind. Ideas started to flow in a new way that I had not experienced in years. My critical nature, I realized, had not corrected one single thing in my life. What it had done was stifle my own creativity." In other words, when she pulled back and realized that's something that she's not going to participate in, and she submitted herself to what she felt was a word God was calling her 2, all of a sudden, she opened up the possibility of something new, the possibility of something fresh and greater and ultimately higher in her life. Old habits will hinder new life. Old habits will hold us hostage. Old habits will hinder us from advancing and moving higher. Many times we may not even realize it. We'll just begin to say things like, well, I just grew up that way. It's just kind of what we all do, and everyone does that. I just want to remind us all, though, that old habits will hinder new life. I hope that as we're launching out into this new year, 2022, that we're asking God for something new, something better, maybe something better for our marriage and our home, something better for the relationships in our life, something better for the job situation, something better for my service to the kingdom of God, and ultimately living out the fulfillment of serving God and His kingdom and all of His purposes here on earth. But the anger habit and the gossip habit, the hanging out with old friends habit and the cursing habit and the fighting habit and the drinking habit and the lying habit, whatever it might be, these old habits hinder and hold back the new and the better life that God is beckoning us, that He's calling us toward that high call. So just like Catherine Marshall, we have no idea how a small change of habit could make a big difference in our 2022. Some of us are just one habit away. Some of us in this room, we may just be one habit away from experiencing new life, fresh life, a less weighty life, a lighter to the soul kind of life. Some of us are just one habit away from a deep, liberating work of freedom that God wants to do in our life this year. And here's what I believe with all of my heart. I believe God's ready. I believe that God is already calling and beckoning us. God is calling us. Let me say it this way. God changes our hearts. It's up to us to change our habits. God and only God can do that transformational work in our hearts. And I just believe that He's done that in every one of us in this room. And if He hasn't, just open the door of that heart and let Him do it, because He's ready to do it at any moment. He's the one who changes our hearts. But then we're the ones who have to wake up tomorrow and make a conscious decision and say, I'm not going to do things the way I used to always do it. I'm not going to think the way I've always thought before. I'm not going to talk the way I've always talked before. A change of habit actually can even qualify you for a promotion in your life, whether that be a promotion on the job, whether it be a promotion in some other area of life and calling and ministry. As I talk to business owners and entrepreneurs all the time, especially there's some even right here in our own church, the question is always asked, where do you find really good people with good habits? Habits like dependability, habits like being a self-starter and problem solver, people who are consistent. Small companies, big corporations, these are the conversations that business leaders are having, managers, people who hire, people who promote. That's what they do. That's what they want to know. Where do you find the extra milers? Where do you find the people who will actually show up and do what they're supposed to do? Where do you find the people who will actually take hold of something as if it's their own? The people who will solve a problem that's right in front of them, even when it's not their problem to solve. Where do you find these people? So we never know. You could just be one habit away from catching the eye of the right person. I'll go a little further and say that if we just form the new habit, that doors will begin to open in our lives. I believe that if we just create those new habits in our lives, that we'll begin to experience the blessings of God in ways that we never knew were possible. I believe that as we begin to make a shift into these new habits, that God will begin to put people in our lives, and that He'll allow us to begin to experience His favor, not only with Him, but with men. We never know what just one habit can do in our lives. One habit change. A habit change can cause a door to open to new and better relationships in our lives. Let me just say it this way, and I don't want to sound too harsh today, because I feel like everything I'm saying, I'm talking to Kevin today, because I've been so guilty of everything that I'm talking about today. I've got some stinking habits in my life, and I got some new habits that need to be formed in my life. But can I just tell you that for some of us in this room, there may be people that's purposely staying away from us today. There may be people that when they see us on aisle 3 at Walmart, they all of a sudden realize they need something on aisle 12. All of a sudden, as soon as they saw us at the end of the aisle. Maybe you have some people like that in your life. Maybe when you see them on aisle 3, all of a sudden you need to get to the freezer section all of a sudden and stick your head in there and act like nobody sees and knows who you are. Really good people. There's people I don't want to be around sometimes. Negative. Critical. It drains you. It pulls you down. It depletes you. But can I just tell you this too? And I speak this of everybody that's in this room today. There's also people in my life that I absolutely cannot wait to get around. I can't wait to be around all, I was going to say some of you, but it's all of you, I promise you. I almost said it, didn't I? But I meant it. I meant it. It's all of you, I promise you. People I cannot wait to get around. There's something magnetic. There's something even contagious about it. I want what you have. When we begin to form new habits, it's amazing how all of a sudden we'll find people with the same interests, the same goals, the same faith, the same passions. For some of us today, it may be time to just form a new habit. It may be time to break away from the bad and head toward new and positive habits, and then just watch. If I just make that one step, if I just make that one adjustment and that one change that I know has been destructive in my life, and I make that one change for something positive and good, and then I just sit back and watch the miraculous work in hand of God. It's us partnering with Him. He does the work, but we just make that conscious decision to say, God, I want to partner with you. I'm not going to hold back with my stuff anymore. I'm letting that go, and I'm going to take a step forward towards you, and then just watch what He does. He'll bring new and enriching blessing and relationships into our lives. And here's the most important point that I'll make in this message today. New habits will deepen and strengthen our relationship with God. If you don't hear anything else today, know that. All about the natural and the tangible things that can ultimately happen in our life, whether it be promotions in jobs, whether it be elevation in relationships, all that's fine and good and all, but a new habit will actually deepen and strengthen our relationship with the Lord. There is nothing more important. The Bible tells us in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." If you were one of the five people that were here Wednesday night for First Wednesday, I'm joking. We actually had a pretty good crowd of folks considering everything that was going on. Had a big old huge section of teenagers right here. We had a great night, a great time of worship. I encourage you to join us on First Wednesday worship. Mark it on your calendar. Make it a priority. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed. It'll be just the charge you need for your life. But my dad, Papa George, he normally takes care of Wednesday nights. Whether that be him speaking and preaching or whether it be him lining up someone. And we found out Wednesday mid-morning that he had the COVID. And so he called and said, "You the man." So I came up here and Landy was up here working on something. And I grabbed my preaching Bible. See, I got about 30 Bibles, but this is my preaching Bible right here. This is the Bible that's got all the highlights in it. This is the Bible that's got all the scriptures circled and little notes up in the margin and all of that. And so I came up here and I was telling Landy about how the daddy was sick, and I had this in my hand. He said, "Well, I see by what's in your hand that you're going to be the one preaching tonight. You got the preaching Bible with you today." And so I went home, and I opened up the scripture. I didn't even make any notes for Wednesday night. I just sometimes scripture just speaks for itself, doesn't it? Actually, all times it speaks for itself. But sometimes we don't even have to really add to it or take away or anything. We shouldn't do that anyway, but we don't have to give our 2 cents. And I just began to look at this text from Jeremiah 29:11. But you got to look at Jeremiah 29:11 in context. We have to look at the whole story and what's going on there. See, we love that verse. We love Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know," God speaks, "I know the thoughts I think towards you. They're good thoughts, not of evil. They're going to give you a future and a hope." See, we love printing that on our baby's blankets, don't we? We love putting it on the baby bibs, and it makes for good conversation and good promises from God. But guess what? I don't know that the Lord was speaking that to his people of Jerusalem and Judah that day who were in captivity in Babylon. I don't think he was speaking to them like we receive it and take it. We take it as this promise. God's going to do all of it. God's going to do that. He's going to do this. He's going to do all these good things in your life. He's going to give you a future and a hope. And that is true. That is God's promise for our lives. But that's not what Jeremiah 29:11 necessarily was saying. You got to read the whole story. God's people, there's a segment and a portion and a remnant of people who were remaining still in Babylon under the rule of King, or had been taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were still there and they were in captivity. And there was some instruction that God gave them before we read that verse. 29:11. The instruction was, look, first of all, he's letting them know, I caused you to be where you are. We don't like to read verses like that. We don't like the fact that we've just been through the season of the world that we've been in. And guess what? God wasn't caught unaware by anything that's happened in our world heretofore. And he's not caught unaware by anything that's happening now. He's still in control. The world is still in the palm of his hand. That song still remains true today. He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole. That's still true today. It didn't change because a certain person got elected president or got voted out or any of those, because a certain party is ruling in Congress. None of that changes anything about who our God is. And so God was saying to his people, I caused you to be where you are. You're in a place of captivity. You're away from your homeland. You're in Babylon. You want to be in Jerusalem right now, but I've got you where I got you for a reason. See, we don't like that kind of preaching. That don't make for aisle jumping and pew jumping and aisle running and chandelier swinging. Don't make for that, because we're having to paint God in a different light than we're used to painting him. He caused them to be in a place of captivity. But then he goes on and begins to give some instruction. Can I just say it this way? He began to give them some habits to form. He says, while you're in that place, while you're in that dark place, while you're in that place of captivity, while you're in that place where you're being ruled instead of ruling, while you're in that place, here's some habits I want you to form. Not after, but now, right now. I want you to begin to plant gardens there in that place. I want you to begin to eat fruit from that place. I want you to go ahead and take sons and daughters and marry sons and daughters so that you can increase there in that place. I want you to develop some habits. I don't want you to just wallow up and play the victim as the captive. I don't want you to sit over there in your little corner and just go, keep doing your same routine thing because it's what you're used to doing. I want you to get aggressive. I want you to form some new habits. I want you to begin to increase in that place. Here's another habit he told him. He says, you go ahead and you seek peace in that place. We think about peace coming when I get delivered. Oh, God got me out of captivity. Now I can have peace in my life. God was saying, I want you to have peace there, in that place. While you're in the middle of a dadgum pandemic, whatever it may be, I want you to have peace in that. I don't think God ever said dadgum. But that's the Kevin version. That's the Kevin translation, KJV or whatever, KBV, whatever, Kevin Bates version. So I want you to have peace there. I want you to seek peace. I want you to pray for that place. Get your focus off of praying for your deliverance and you getting out of captivity. I want you to pray for those, your captors. I want you to pray for your enemies. Here's a new habit for you. That's what I want you to do. He just goes on and he gives them all these new habits to form in their lives. And then we read that verse. These are people who have been in captivity. He says, by the way, I'm going to keep you there for 70 years. I'm glad that's not the promise he gave us. I'm glad that whatever season you're in right now, if it's a season you don't like, I'm glad that he didn't promise you the same thing he promised us, that he didn't promise us the same thing that he promised them just before he gave that big, beautiful verse that we love to read. He said, I'm going to keep you there 70 years, but you're going to increase there. You're going to grow there. I'm going to do some things in you there and develop some things out of you there that would never happen anywhere else. When you begin to develop these new habits, then he says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you. They are good, not of evil. So it wasn't even like he was saying, I promise you all of this in the future. No, my promise is I'm going to keep you right where you're at. You're going to go through some stuff. You're going to live in captivity. But while you're there, you're going to develop some habits and some things are going to begin to change in your life. I'm just letting you in on how I think as God. You think I think a certain way. You think I hate you. You think I'm against you. You think because you're in this place and I'm somehow absent in your life. That one verse is just to let us in on how he thinks. How many of you have ever had to spank your child before? Oh, I know, you don't want to raise your hands now because we live in a woke world now. We don't spank kids anymore. Let me put it this way. How many of you have ever been spanked or whooped by your parents before? There you go. Now I get the true story. And how many times have we heard or said the same old phrase? This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. There is no way I ever understood that or believed that. That was just mom or dad just letting us in on how they think. I didn't get it. I kind of get it a little bit now, but even though, no, Kayla says I don't because I never spank the kids. But anyway, because my kids are perfect. I mean, I don't know about yours, but he's just letting them in on how he thinks. It wasn't this putting a carrot out in front of them and saying, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a future and a hope. I want you to hold on to this promise. He's like, no, you got to know how I think. I've got you in this place, but I'm thinking different than you're thinking. You're thinking captivity. You're thinking bondage. You're thinking slavery. You're thinking all these kind of things. I don't think like that. I'm doing some awesome things. They're not evil things. They're good things. They feel evil to you. Here's what I need you to do in the meantime. I need you to develop some new habits. And through developing these new habits, seeking the peace of the land that you're in, praying for your enemies, growing in that place, planting gardens in that place, eating that fruit and increasing there, that when you begin to develop those habits, and here's what I love too, I guess I'm re-preaching Wednesday's sermon. I actually said Wednesday night, I said, this is a Sunday sermon. We should be talking about habits on Wednesday night and preaching like throw down, spitting, and sweating stuff on Sunday morning. And normally it is throw down, spitting, and sweating on Sunday morning, but we're just talking about habits today. But I love what God said in verse 12. I didn't even give them these verses. I wasn't planning on going here. He says, then, when you get that, when you start developing these habits in the place that you're at, not the place you hope to get, or if I ever get here, then I'll do that. No, right where you are, you begin to develop these habits. And in that place, I want you to understand and know how I think as God. I'm the one who's ruling this whole thing. I'm the one who put you where you are right now. I'm going to be the one to ultimately get you out of there. I'm the one who's keeping you there right now. I just want you to know how I think. I think good thoughts. I think good things about your future. It's not evil thoughts like you're thinking. I've got good things in mind for you and your future. It's a future with a hope. He says, and when you get all of this, once you understand how I think God is saying, then this is what verse 12, the next verse says, the one that we don't put on the blankets. It says, then you will call upon me, and you're going to pray to me then, and then I'll listen. I'll hear you then. See, I don't think it's a matter that God doesn't hear our prayer. It's a matter that sometimes we're talking a language that he doesn't comprehend. It's whenever we humble ourselves to a place and say, God, I'm submitting my heart and my life, where I am in my life, my habits, all that I am, I'm submitting it all to you. Then all of a sudden, we're on the same page with him. And now all of a sudden, when I talk, he hears and he understands. When he talks, I hear and I understand. May not always be what I want to hear, but I'm going to understand, and there will be a peace that comes. He says, you're going to seek me then, and you will find me then. You will search for me with all of your heart, and there you will find me, and I will bring you back from your captivity. God has good thoughts. He has good plans for our lives. God has good things in mind for us. So the truth is we're not always waiting on God for good things to come into our lives. Sometimes the good has already been done. He's already done it. He's just waiting on us to begin to walk in what he has already provided. The power of a habit is oftentimes experienced in its growing nature, in its cumulative nature of what we repeatedly do. It's not what we do one day, it's what we do daily. My good friend Clay Shivers, it's his birthday today, and COVID has hit their family, so he's not here today, but Clay is what I would call a coffee drinker. He says if he goes anywhere near a coffee pot, it's like he's just drawn to it. He don't have to be thirsty. He don't have to want coffee. He don't have to need caffeine. If there is a coffee pot, Ellis, and there's smoke coming out of it, and there's a cup somewhere, he's going to go and grab it. If he comes into the parts store, if there's a coffee pot somewhere, he's going to go straight. That's what a coffee drinker does. That's what coffee drinkers do. Now me, I'm not a coffee drinker. I will occasionally, about 3 or 4 times a year, have a cup of coffee. But me drinking a cup of coffee every now and then don't make me a coffee drinker. It's what we do repeatedly that has significant effect on our lives and future. We don't diet and exercise for one day and our friends and family say, "Wow, what happened to you?" It's what we do. It's what we do every day for a while, and then all of a sudden you begin to notice some things. All of a sudden other people begin to notice this change that happens because it's this growing nature. It's this cumulative nature of a habit. I wanted to talk a minute today about the positive habit of church attendance. But with a big pandemic going on, or a virus outbreak or whatever going on, and a massive storm this morning, I'd be talking to the choir today to talk about church attendance. You folks get it, but maybe for those who's going to be watching online, maybe at some point in the future, maybe it'll help them in some way. This once in a while church versus a consistent habit of plugging in and being involved in the things of God is what makes a difference. I love what Luke 4 says. Luke 4:16. Speaks of Jesus, and it says he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And listen to this. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom, as was his habit. He went to church as a habit. He didn't just go when it was convenient. He didn't just go on Easter and Christmas Eve. He went as a habit. It was his custom. And if we'll just make this one small shift in our lives and begin to develop that one habit, you won't believe the change that will begin to happen in our lives and how it will impact us as people, how it will begin to impact our relationships, how it will begin to impact our marriage, our homes, our families, our callings. Not to just simply show up. It's one thing, I'm not talking about checking a religious box. We're not religious people around here. We're not these people that think you got to be in the house every time the doors are open. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about getting everything out of what we put into something. You only get out of something what you put in to something. If I'm just a casual show up, sit here, and then walk out, I may get a little blessing every now and then, but I don't get the full effect of what being a part of a church family, of rolling up my sleeves and putting my hand to the plow and using my life and for the service and the kingdom of the Lord. That's what makes the ultimate difference in our lives, to begin to develop that habit in our life. Not just showing up, but showing up with an attitude of being present, mind, heart, and spirit. To stay around a little while, just to hang out, engage with some folks, build some relationships with someone, begin to inquire about how can I serve, how can I give more into the kingdom of God and fulfill his purposes in my life, whether that be with my hands, whether that be with my service, whether that be with my energy, whether that be with my finances, whatever it may be. Begin to get our children more engaged and our teenagers more engaged. A lot of people think in terms of what's the bare minimum? What do I have to do? And can I tell you all the stuff I'm talking about today, developing new habits, walking in the plan and the purposes of God, I want to be very clear, that has nothing to do with our salvation. Salvation was paid for, accomplished, and settled 2,000 plus years ago at Calvary. That is done. He did that, not us. But for us to begin to walk out and live out a life of purpose, a life on purpose, to live a life that is fulfilled and living out his kingdom purposes for our lives, we have to begin to make some everyday changes in our lives. I know it's not exciting preaching, but it's good preaching. I kid. Point is when we form a new habit, we create a new life. When we change our habits, we change our lives. For some of us, it may just be as simple as saying, you know what, I just got to set some time aside. Whatever that looks like, whatever that sounds like, it doesn't have to be some traditional way. It can be in the cab of my truck. But at this certain time that I'm going to turn the radio off, and I'm turning the iPod off, and I'm turning the podcast off, and I'm just going to spend some personal time communing with the Lord, sharing my heart with him, allowing him to download things into my spirit. Spending some time in His Word just to stop and read and study. And if you don't understand it, just find somebody or something. There's so many amazing resources out there that can help us understand and walk through maybe some of this King James lingo and verbiage sometimes and see what the real Word is telling us and saying to us. As I've already said, finding a place to plug in and to serve, tithing, whatever it may be in our lives, these habits that will enrich and make our lives so much greater and fulfill the purposes that He has for our life. Our life goes in a whole new direction. It adds different strengths, and big things are able to happen in our lives just because of the little habits that we form and we create. I'm closing with this one last thing. Maybe this is a good way to think about it. How about we not focus on breaking habits? Like so many times we're just that's how we think. Well, I got to quit doing this. I got to quit doing that. Why don't we just not focus on what I'm going to break, what I'm going to quit doing? Let's not focus on breaking habits. Why don't we just focus on creating new habits? If we have a habit, for example, of being judgmental of other people, if we've been doing that for a long time, we may not even realize we're doing it when we're doing it. It's just instinctive. It just kind of flows out of us. But here's what we can do. We can begin to create a new habit of actually saying good things about people. You know, we used to always say, Mama taught us, if you can't say something good, don't say anything at all. That's a good practice, I guess. But maybe a better practice would be, if I can't find anything good, I'm not going to say anything bad, but I'm going to find something good. And can I tell you? We will find what we're looking for. What are you looking for? What are you searching for? Are we looking for something to criticize? Are we looking for something to be judgmental of? Are we looking for the good? I promise you, if you look for it, you will find it. If we have a habit of finding fault in everything and everyone, instead of trying to commit to say, I'm not going to say anything, a better way is to push ourselves to speak a different language, create a new habit of speech, a new habit of speaking positively, a new habit of complimenting, a new habit of encouraging. If we form the habit of complimenting and encouraging the people around us in our lives, the fault-finding part of us will slowly shrink and just dissipate altogether because of the new you that sees the good, that says the good, that talks about the good. All I'm doing is preaching Philippians 4:8. That's all I'm doing. Paul said it this way. He said, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think about these things. And when we make a target like that, and we start directing our habits of thought to say, I'm going to think it, I'm going to see it, I'm going to say it, sometimes I'm even going to shout it because I want to go higher. He's beckoning me to the high call. He's beckoning me to that higher place. I want to move forward. I want to get stronger and stronger. I want God's plan for me to be fulfilled in 2022. I don't want to stay like I've been. God has something better in mind for me. I love that verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That's a promise that comes straight from Calvary. It's a promise that flows through the blood that dropped from that cross. If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. But we have to understand that new creation living out and being fulfilled in a day-to-day life and relationship and the world around us, it doesn't come just by the way of a one-time experience. It happens a day at a time, where we partner with God and we partner with His will and His plan and His ways, His higher calling in our lives. And then over time, we begin to live out. The new creation happened in here, and now we begin to live it out and walk it out. It's amazing and it's miraculous to see what God does when we actually submit ourselves, our whole selves, to His will, to His way. new things start happening in our lives. New doors start opening in our lives. We start thinking different. We start talking different. We start living different because we are different. We are moving higher. Would you stand with me today across this room? So this is my prayer for us today. My prayer is that even right now in this moment, we're gonna sing a worship song together before we leave out of here. I won't even tell you to focus on the song or the words on the screen. Maybe I would ask you, if you don't mind, maybe just close your eyes over the next few moments while the worship team leads us. And just close your eyes and just maybe ask the Lord. We don't need an altar call to do this. God will meet you right where you are. God will speak to us right where we are. Just to ask him to begin to convict my heart. Just convict my heart. God don't condemn. So if you start feeling like you're getting beat up a little bit, if you start feeling like you're getting beat down and you're starting to feel a little shame for maybe something you've done or the way you've lived your life a certain way, that ain't coming from God. That's coming from your own stinking thinking, or it's coming from the enemy, but it ain't coming from God. But when we begin to feel that warm conviction in our heart, says, you know what, my life's kind of been going in a certain direction, and these are the kind of decisions I'm making, and this is the way I'm living this thing out every day, and I'm just asking the Holy Spirit of God to begin to convict me, show me, God, what would you have me to do different? And I promise you, when we take that one step, and he begins to reveal that thing to us, or those things to us, whatever it may be, and we begin to partner with him, and we begin to walk that thing out, we begin to see that new creation come to fruition in our lives. We begin to walk in purpose. We begin to walk with the fulfillment and the call that he's placed on our lives, not just managing, not just getting through another day, but now living on purpose every single day, every moment of our lives. Ask the Lord to do that today, and then let's submit to him. Let's just say, God, I submit all to you. I submit my own will and thoughts and ideas and opinions and all that stuff. I give it all to you today, Lord. I want to walk in your ways. I want to walk in your truth. I want to walk in your will and your plan for my life. I want to do what you've called me to do, not just in areas and compartmentalized in areas of my life, but in every part and every area of my life. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for your presence that's in this room today. You've come to meet with us, God. You've come to gather with us and to speak into our hearts and lives, whether it be through a song that is sang, whether it be through a word that is spoken. Today, God, my prayer is that no one necessarily remembers the praise team or the preacher, but God, they remember what your Holy Spirit is speaking and convicting in their hearts and lives. To all of us today, God, we open the doors of our heart. We say, speak to us, God, individually, God. Convict me, God, today. Convict me today, God, of those areas and those habits of my life, God, that have been ultimately destructive, or at the very least kept me at the status quo. And God, challenge me. Compel me today. As you said in your word, beckon us today. Call us to that higher place, God. Teach us, God, what step to take tomorrow, that new habit to implement into our lives, that new life change, God, that will ultimately change everything in our lives. And open up the windows of heaven to pour out into our lives more than we could even ask or think or imagine. We thank you for it today, God. Let your Holy Spirit move. Let your voice speak into each one of our hearts and lives as we open ourselves up to you today. Do in us what only you can do. We will give you all the praise and glory and honor. We're believing you, God, for a great year. I'm believing you, God, for a tremendous 2022. I believe it's going to happen in our church. I believe it's going to happen in every individual home, in marriage, in our families, God, in our individual callings and giftings that you placed inside of us to begin to just explode in our lives, God, and do the miraculous. We're believing you for that today, God, so we partner with you. We take that step today, step out of our own norm and our own way of thinking and move toward you. Have your way. Bless it, I pray, and increase it in every life, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's sing together before we go home.
I'm finding myself.